podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your host. This is Brett from the Zen and the Art of Triathlon podcast. I'm your guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at zentriathlon.com or twitter.com/texifornia, where we apply Zen to endurance sports, talk nutrition, do coaching, and much, much more. So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to go have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
Hey Dustin, great running with you today. Oh dang it, my GPS lost his signal again.
That's okay, I still have a signal. And we're at 9.43212163.2 miles, doing an 8.05.23 pace.
What? You're not wearing a GPS device. What are you talking about?
No. I have the internally embedded Garmin 2010 device. There's no external pieces, and I get a much better performance.
What the heck are you talking about? What's an internally embedded device?
Well, it's simple, really. Instead of wearing it, I have it wired directly into my nervous system.
Wait, hold on. What? You had a GPS surgically implanted? Are you kidding? You had surgery for this? Man, that's hardcore.
No. Actually, the Garmin 2010 comes with a self-surgical installation kit. I was able to do it myself with a little help from my kids.
No way. Really?
Yeah. We simply implanted a GPS device under the scalp near the frontal lobe and has a low-grade Bluetooth connection to the neurosynapses.
Oh, man. Doesn't that hurt?
No. Didn't feel a thing. The insulation kit comes with a local anesthetic, a sterilized single-use scalpel, and a tube of coagulant. Hold on. We have to turn in 0.23421 miles here.
Wait, how do you know that?
Well, I had my daughter snake the optional optic nerve fiber optic connection up my nose so I get the heads-up display in the corner of my field of vision.
Really? Is that safe?
Totally. And they use a self-learning semi-organic circuitry so it insinuates itself into your cerebral cortex and there's no lag.
Hey, so how do you get such a good signal?
Well, the core device uses the carbon molecules in my hair to create a directional antenna and conform to the optimal wavelength for reception.
Wow, that's amazing. What else does it do?
You know, it does a lot. Through the heads-up display, I get a continuous heart rate monitor and even get glucose levels with preset alerts telling me when to take nutrition and fluids. Really takes care of everything.
Wow, that's so cool, Justin. So how do I get one?
Well, you can't really. I was lucky enough to be part of a beta program between NASA, Garmin, and the U.S. military. Yeah, there are some small wrinkles in the program.
Wrinkles? What kind of wrinkles?
Well, for example, the other morning I didn't want to get up for my long run. It was cold and I wanted to snuggle in my bed for a while.
And?
Well, I started hearing voices in my head to tell me, get up and run.
No way, voices, really?
And then they started getting angry and I got a bad migraine and a nosebleed until I got my shoes on. Really, I think it was all the best though. No, really. I love my Garmin 2010, and I'd never do anything to disable or harm it.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
Okay, my friends, my running friends, my foolish friends, my Facebook and Twitter friends, my running club mates, yes, you have found yourself here at episode 67 of a Run, Run, Live podcast. It's Friday night. I'm working hard at procrastinating and watching the Bruins beat up on the Carolina Hurricanes, a.k.a. the Hartford Whalers. I don't know. I've been watching hockey for a long time. Got good news. Took the trail bike for a ride today, and it actually is starting to feel like I'm not going to kill myself. It's not terror all the time. I think I jumped over a rock, and I I'd probably get 3.5 inches of air, but it felt like I was doing, you know, BMX tricks. I felt like I was under control. So, and the route that I run, first time I rode it on this bike took me 1 hour and 15 minutes. This time, I'm down to 54 minutes, so we were flying today. And I also, been a busy few weeks for me, ran Boston on the 20th, and then I was heavily involved in the Groton Road Race all last week. And it culminated Sunday in a very successful event. We got a hot, hot day, so we had to scramble for water, and we put some people in the med tent, a couple off to the hospital, but it was pretty good. It went pretty well, considering the numbers were way up because it was a nice day and we had a lot of walk-up traffic. So I think it was successful. I'm very happy with that event. Road to work. Drove my bike to work this week. And if you remember my run to work episodes, you know, this is the same thing, just faster. I have an old Fuji road bike that I used in my triathlon days, my triathlon period. And I have it fitted out with a laptop bag for commuting. So it's pretty good. It's quite a hilly course I have, and there's 3 big hills right, you know, when I leave my house to go to work and then at the end when I'm coming back. But it only took me like an hour to bike the 17 and a half miles in both directions, which is awesome because, you know, I've had to take that long in the car with traffic before. You know, I haven't decided what bike event in the fall I want to participate in, but I'm still working on a training plan, but you know, I want to keep some running in there at least 2-3 days a week so I can run Ragnar with the Mango and Sasquatch if that happens in September as an ultra team. And so I'm looking at maybe August for a bike ultra. And my legs are starting to come back, starting to feel okay, so I don't think it'll be that hard of a transition for me. I rode to work and back on Tuesday, like I said. And the funny thing is I weighed myself on Monday at the office gym, and I was up to like 195 pounds. And I was joking with Jason on Twitter today. I was saying, I'm so fat that when I sit around the house, I sit around the house. So, but then I weighed in on Wednesday after biking to work, and I was at 190. So I lost like 6 pounds overnight. So I'm working on it. I know it's all water, but it's fun anyhow. So today, I'm interviewing Andrea. She's the race director for the Vermont Marathon. And I had a request from a listener to get some info on this race. My fast friends, Frank and Brian. Brian's from the Goon Squad. He's Silent Assassin. And he just ran a 256 at Boston, or a 254 or something. Some amazing race. And they run this race every year. And they praise it. They think it's a great race. And they're the guys who schedule both Boston and Vermont. And then they watch the weather to decide which one they're going to race and which one they're going to just sort of enjoy. And thank you for Mango Runner, Justin, for helping me with the Garmin 2010 commercial. And thank you to Texifornia, Brett, my friend, with the Garbanzo Beans and the Zen in the Triathlon, Zen in the Art of Triathlon podcast, which is an awesome podcast. He is very cool. He has started his own cult on Twitter, the Zen Tri Cult. So make sure you join his cult. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with you all today. Hope everybody's healthy, happy, and positive. On with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Hey, so back to my normal format after a couple of special episodes. The equipment check. Maybe you have noticed that I've been posting a couple of videos that are more than just a blurry mass of jumbled pixels. Well, that's because I gave up on the Sony Handycam and bought a Flip Minnow. And this is such a cool and easy little camera. It's the iPod of video cameras. And I didn't get the HD version because, frankly, I don't really care about HD. Any kind of D is good enough for me. And it's got a great form factor, and I'm able to carry it in one hand comfortably when I'm running. It's like iPod size. So, you know, it's got like an hour worth of record time on the version I have, and the battery life so far is fine. I haven't any issues at all. When you're done recording, it has a little snap-up USB connector. You plug it right in. The software is easy to use, and then you just drag and drop the videos to make a movie, and you just hit the other button to upload it to YouTube, and it's no muss, no fuss. And there's no cables, and no intrusive self-installing software that keeps asking you stupid questions like that Kodak crap. And it's really cool. It takes a lot of CPU power to create these movies and to save them. And the files, when you're done, are still pretty big when you're moving them over the network, over to YouTube. But, you know, it's not too bad. And after you're done, you can just delete them off the camera, delete them off your computer because they're out on YouTube or Runcast TV. And pretty low effort, pretty high quality. So the price point's really good. So get yourself Flip Minnow, and you will be the next director of your own movie. You'll be a star.
And now for our featured interview.
Andrea?
Yes.
Oh, you're back so soon. Didn't hear you bleep in. They must have changed my, they must have changed this, because usually I hear people beep in when they come back from me hitting the magic button. So anyhow, we're live, as they say, or nearly live here.
Great.
On my podcast. So I'm in my front yard with the black flies and my dog carrying some wood. I'm still cleaning up my yard from the ice storm we had in November. You know, so
yeah. Well, it takes time, you know.
So are you the race director?
Yeah, I was named the race director at KeyBank Vermont City Marathon in 1995.
In 1995.
Yeah.
So you forgot to show up for a meeting?
No, I was actually the first hired staff member ever of the organization, and I had I actually started working for the organization in 1993.
Okay. Yeah, and some people may not know, but this particular marathon's been around for, what, 21 years?
21 years, yep. It was started in 1989 they thought it would be a small, you know, marathon event in New England, and at the time, there were no other races on Memorial Weekend, at least, you know, in the close proximity.
So you're going off on the 24th this year, if I read things correctly, right?
Right. We're always Memorial Day weekend.
You go off in the morning? What time does it start?
Yep, it starts at 8 a.m. On that Sunday of May 24th, and that starts the marathon event, but we certainly have things going on all weekend long.
And where does it start? What's the physical location?
It starts in Burlington, Vermont, and there's a park called Battery Park.
Yep.
Starts in Battery Park, and the full 26.2 takes place 100% within the city limits of Burlington, which is part of why it makes it so popular, because it's actually a cloverleaf design course. So if you've got friends running, you know, you can stay in Battery Park and see them at four different points, and the runner doesn't get bored, because it's not like they're retracing their steps. It's just that the park becomes the central part of where they come back to. And and then they finish in Waterfront Park, which is down on Lake Champlain, which has just, it's a beautiful, beautiful location.
Yep, and if people aren't familiar with the area, you know, it's Lake Champlain. It's sort of a baby Great Lake out there, a very big lake. And you guys are right close to the border with Canada, you know, another hour's drive or so. And
yep.
You can get right up to Montreal. You're less than, what, 3 hours, 2 hours from Montreal?
Oh, yeah. It's just under 2 hours from Montreal. And when you're in Burlington, you look across the lake, and you know, you have to say tongue-in-cheek, it's the sixth, you know, Great Lake. Michiganders don't like you saying that. But when you look across the lake, you know, you're seeing the Adirondack Mountains of New York. And so... it's very close to there.
Yep, and it's just on the other side of the Green Mountains. It's beautiful, beautiful country. I used to drive up to Montreal through there from where I live, and it's just gorgeous.
It is a beautiful location, and that's part of what has made this event such a destination marathon.
Right, and you probably get a lot of people coming down from Canada too, right?
Well, you know, we have, since I've been involved with the event, we would usually get about 200 or 300 people coming down to participate. Now, that has changed in recent years because Ottawa Marathon shifted to the exact same day as us.
And oh, okay.
So, but we still get, you know, a good 100 Canadians that come down. We're very, very different than the Ottawa event. They're very much more of a, you know, a huge event. More urban. Obviously, Ottawa is a much bigger city than Burlington.
Right.
You know, our event we're the biggest marathon in a town of our size anywhere in the country.
So what do you get for numbers?
We limit it to 8,000 runners, and with that 8,000 runners comes about 30,000 spectators. So we consider ourselves like the boutique of marathon events.
And we were talking before, it's really quite a destination run because it's such a beautiful place and such a great time of year to be in Vermont and to be in that part of the country.
Absolutely.
A lot of A lot of people come up with the whole crew. They hang out for the weekend, enjoy the lake,
exactly. We get a lot of people. You know, you were talking about the Canadians, but we actually get a lot of people from the South, from the Carolinas, from Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, California. They're looking for a cooler place to run a marathon, and which is kind of a funny part for us, because on Memorial Day Sunday, the weather can be anywhere from 32 degrees at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
It can also be 70 degrees at 8 a.m. And we never, you know, it's Vermont. You just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and
it is cool.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me that. I just managed my rookie race director outing was last weekend, and it was close to 90 degrees on Sunday when our 10K went off in New England, right? So you can get the 90-degree day, you can get the 30-degree day, but typically it's somewhere in between.
Exactly. And the KBVCM course is known as a fair course. A tremendous amount of runners will come here to get their Boston qualifying time. It's not a hilly course, and it's not a flat course. It's what I call a fair course. It's got some roll to it, but the last 7 miles are flat to slightly downhill all along the lake. So, you know, right when you need a little bit of a break, you know, you got it coming into the final miles of our event.
Right, and I told you, my serious running buddies who want to crack the three-hour mark, what they'll do is they'll sign up for both Boston and Vermont, and then they'll just sort of watch the weather. And, you know, if they get a crappy weather day at Boston, they'll run as a training run and then go up to Vermont to try to get their time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and a lot of people do that.
And one of the things that, exactly like you mentioned, right, you think Vermont, you think the Green Mountains, you know, it's horribly hilly, but if you're right in there next to the lake in Burlington, it's actually flat. It's sort of an alluvial plain. So
exactly.
It's not that bad, yeah.
No, it really isn't. And when you say Vermont to somebody, you know, who has never been to Vermont, they picture, oh, that's a place you go skiing, it's got to be in Stowe, you know, they picture, you know, the hills are alive, basically. And that's why we got our name. That's actually where the name came from. We're called Vermont City Marathon, so that people will know there is an urban setting. You are running, you know, not in the foothills of some mountains, but you're running in the city and along the lake. So once people understand that, and once they come here and realize, oh, okay, it's not as hilly as I thought, you know, it helps.
Yep, and the other thing about Burlington is it's a great college town. It's got a great population. All these little outdoor cafe, you know, walking areas. It's really a nice place to hang around.
Exactly, Chris, and that's part of the allure. You know, I said to you 8,000 runners. Well, you can go to an event with 8,000 runners, and there may be some spectators. Here on Memorial Weekend, the race is the place to be. So you've got people that are at outdoor cafes, sitting there watching the runners go by, that makeshift parties all along the course. 30,000 spectators to watch these runners. I mean, that's a lot of people. They're here to, you know, to just watch what's going on, listen to live music, eat their Ben and Jerry's ice cream, you know, really take in the Vermont, you know, culture, if you will. It's really crazy. It's a blast.
Yep, it's a beautiful place, and this is the time of year because, you know, in the winter, it's New England, you know. You get basically locked down for 6 months, and as a result of that, you know, same thing when I was up in Quebec City in Montreal. As a result of that, in May and June, people just come out of the woodwork, and they all want to be outside. They're all dragging out their motorcycles and their convertibles, and it's just a big party atmosphere.
Exactly. So I think the fact that we've positioned ourselves for 21 years on Memorial Day weekend is great because it just kicks off the summer and people are excited to be outside, like you said.
Yep. I don't have my Vermont Marathon yet. I guess I could say I have my Vermont Marathon. I ran the Vermont 50 Ultra last year, Trail Marathon. So
yeah,
but I
don't
have my Vermont.
That's hilly. That is hilly.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, that's 18,000 feet of give and take.
Exactly.
Real nice course. I love the course.
Yeah, it is a great course. It's a nice event, and we've got more types of events like that are creeping up all the time here in Vermont. You know, some get to be known, some are just, you know, word of mouth. But you know, Vermont's just a giant beautiful playground no matter what time of year you come.
Yep, and I just got an email today from a whole new set of triathlons up there. Same thing, they're pitching it as a destination. So it's sort of a little cottage industry like we were talking about with endurance events up in Vermont. You know, the other guy I worked with when I was writing with Cool Running was the Jay Peak Marathon, which is just a nutcase event.
Yep. So speaking of triathlons, though, this is last year what we did for the first time is Vermont doesn't have a Ironman event, and we've been talking about it for a while, but it's still in the talk phase. And somebody from the University of Vermont came to us and said, okay, how about if we piggyback onto the KeyBank Vermont City Marathon, we have our own Ironman event. The difference is, instead of it being a one-day event, it's a two-day event. So on Saturday, we've got people that are swimming, then they're doing the biking, and then the next day they come back and they run the marathon, and then they get there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's an Ironman event.
Sort of a duathlon brick and then a marathon.
Exactly. We get creative.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And what you were saying about the course being spectator friendly, that's what my buddies were telling me, that they really like the Cloverleaf course because it gives it sort of a hub, and the spectators can see the runners like 5-6 times, and the runners have some good milestones to focus on when they're racing, right? So
exactly. And there's one part of the course at the beginning. It's actually miles 4 through 9. Where it's a out and back on a divided highway that's completely closed to traffic, and it's not a big highway, but you know, when you go out and you turn around and you come back, you can see everybody in the race, so you can check out what invited runners are doing, what, how they're jockeying, and then if you know people in the event, you know, you can start picking off people you know, and it really is a lot of fun.
Yeah. So good. I heard good things about it. I like the area. Actually, Vermont, now that I'm thinking about it, has got to be a sort of a Latinization of Green Mountains, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes, it is. Yes, the French word for it.
All right.
And it's Vermont's, actually the Champlain Valley, which is where Burlington lies. It's our quadricentennial year. So this summer, there's just a ton of stuff going on celebrating the birthday of Lake Champlain.
Right, and that would be when Champlain went up the St. Lawrence from Quebec City back in the 1500s or something, right?
Very good. Very good, Chris.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I worked in 1536, I think. I'm guessing now. But I worked in Quebec City. I had an office up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that explains your knowledge.
love Quebec City.
Great.
I ran their marathon. Actually, I think I ran the half marathon. But you still got slots? You still letting people in?
We do still have some slots left open. You know, it's interesting because, Chris, a lot of people assume that we are always full, and it's a reputation we have nationally. So we'll get calls. Our registration opens in November. Our relays are by lottery because the demand is so high. So in the industry, we think what happened was people heard, oh, the relay's closed, it's by lottery, and people think automatically, oh, well, the marathon must be full too. So we've been really trying to promote the fact that, you know, we do have marathon slots till the beginning of May, and then we do cap it at 3,600 marathon slots. Not the relay, but marathon slots. So, yeah, we still have some open.
Yeah, that's a good size, 3,600. So you're not going to be tripping over people in that race. That's a good size.
Exactly. It is. But, like we said, it's like a boutique size. It's not a big box store. You know, it's not massive, like 20,000 people. But with the number of runners and the number of spectators, you never feel like you're running alone.
Right. I think you're right about the endurance events, because whenever you have multiple events, because I know that's the same thing's true with that Vermont 50 that I ran, you know, you could get into the 50-mile running race, you know, pretty much day up, but the bike race sold out in, you know, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to be careful. When you hear something is selling out, you got to be careful what they're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what other events do you have that you're folding into this thing? You have a relay and a...
Yeah, so we have we have a relay, a 3 to 5 person relay, and we were actually the first marathon event in the country to ever have a marathon relay. We started our relay in 1989. So we have 650 teams of 3 to 5. And then the other piece that we have is we have a 2-person relay, which each person is literally running 13.1. So, and that's by lottery as well. And we've got 700 2-person teams. So we got 1,400 people running halves. And that's been a huge hit, absolutely huge.
So is there anything new this year that you want to call out to people who might be showing up to run? Anything new they should take into account?
Yeah, I think what's new, what we're really excited about this year is there's a lot more music on the course this year. Vermont's known for, especially Burlington, for like these homegrown bands. You know, like Fish was homegrown, and we got a lot more bands out on the course this year that are playing. And then at the finish line, down where the beer tent is, the beer tent is expanded. And there's a barbecue and a live 80s band, and we're actually looking forward to it. It's right on the water, too. So, you know, if it's a nice day, it's just going to be a spectacular place to hang out, have a beer, or not have a beer, you know, have something to drink and listen to a live 80s band and watch the rest of the runners come in. So
that's great.
It's a great time. Yeah.
That's
great.
But you probably have to have some dairy products, too, because it is Vermont.
We do. We actually do. And, of course, like, you know, people always say to us, you know, you are going to have Ben & Jerry's ice cream, right? That's just got to be the Vermont thing. And, of course, cheese, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, we've got some Vermont products. The official poster this year is this giant Woody Jackson cow. And if anybody knows anything about Vermont art and you pull up Woody Jackson, you'll see what I mean. So yeah, we definitely celebrate that we're a Vermont event. We're proud of it.
Yep, we don't want to alienate those people from Wisconsin, but you know we got good cheese and dairy up there.
Yeah, and plus you got a lot of microbreweries up here.
Yeah,
you know Vermont's just got so many smaller, you know, food, you know, companies that are just really taking off. But yeah, there's no shortage of Vermont products here.
Okay, so if I'm coming up to race this race. Right, I'm a serious runner, and I'm coming up to race this race. You know, what are the top three things that I gotta think about, or I gotta look out for?
You mean as a participant?
Yeah.
I think the top three things that you wanna be on the lookout for, make sure you do, is we spend a fair amount of time making sure people have pre-information. We do a magazine called the Runner and Guest Handbook, in that.
Yeah.
And we put a lot of energy into that because we want people to have all the knowledge they have, you know, to make it a really positive experience for them. So the first thing I would say is if you're a participant and you get your magazine, read it. You know, there's a lot of good information in there. You know, people assume, the event's in Vermont, it's got to be really small. I'll just get there at 7:30 in the morning and find a place to park. Well, that doesn't work, you know, when you got that huge of a crowd. I don't care if you're Vermont or where you are, you got to be better prepared than that. So in the magazine, we have everything from where to park, what time to get there, what hotels have shuttles. So the first thing I would say is definitely know the magazine. And then in the magazine as well is a list of where the aid stations are. And when you're a Boston or a New York or some of the Chicago, you know, your aid stations can be very rhythmic, like they can be exactly a mile apart, let's say, because of the format of the streets and the way that, you know, the way that they can manage.
Sure.
Here, because of the design of our course, they're not exactly every mile. They might be a mile and a half. They might be 0.9 of a mile. So it's knowing where your aid stations are.
Right. That's if you're one of those people who is, you know, religiously trained to take a goo at mile 5 with your water, and the water stop is actually at mile 5.8, it might mess up your mind unless you know about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I'd say the third thing is when you cross the finish line and there's 20,000 people right when you finish, to make sure that you know where the runner food is. You'll be amazed at how many people finish our event and they start wandering, and they end up going to, like, a vendor, a paid vendor, not the free food, saying,
right,
you know, where's the runner food? It's like they don't look where the runner food is. So it's just knowing when you cross the finish line, the food's right there.
Right, right. And then, you know, they complain to you that they didn't get any food, right?
Yeah, that there was no food tent. That how could we have a race with no food tent? And we all look at each other saying, how could they miss a food tent that could fit like 40 elephants? You know, I mean,
yeah,
huge.
Right. So the moral of the story is, do your homework. You'll be much happier in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, you know that as a participant yourself. You've got to take responsibility for being a participant, and part of that is knowing, reading the information, knowing what you're getting yourself into.
See, I was talking to McGillivray a couple of weeks ago, and we got on this runner, you know, participant accountability jag. We're all just a bunch of grumpy old people, you know?
No way, man. I talked to Dave. We get on the same thing about talking about that. All us race directors do. We're here to provide an outstanding experience, but the runner has to do their homework and actually train, and they got to know what kind of event they're getting themselves into. We have a 6-hour time limit, and we'll be amazed at how many runners fall way behind that pace, and we tell them, hey, I'm sorry, but it's just not your day. You're getting behind the 6-hour time limit. And they look at us like we've got three heads, like, what? I didn't know it was a 6-hour time limit. I'm just walking. Well, they didn't read the registration form.
Right. Yep. Hey, you kids, get off of my lawn. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Yep. We've been doing it for a long time. We can be crotchety. Hey, so what would you say, you know, the people have tons of these events they can do, right? You know, what would you say, like, the top three or four or one or two differentiators of your event versus something else somebody could do on that day?
Well, that's an easy question. One, we're Vermont, and Vermont sells itself. We're a brand unto itself. So when somebody comes here to participate, it's really clear it's a Vermont event through Vermont products. The fact that they can actually call the office and talk to somebody and not get stuck in departmental email or voicemail or whatever. We're very, very personable here. And I think that in itself is like, if somebody really enjoys going to destinations and getting a flavor of how different this country is, when they come to Vermont, they're like, wow, so this is Vermont, you know, very small, cordial, but, you know, just a really neat place. So that's number one. Number two is we spend a lot of resources on making sure that the runners have a great experience from the time they arrive to the time they leave, and that goes from, you know, their hotel experience to the things that they do when they're not running, you know, like going on a cruise on Lake Champlain, or that it's a whole weekend experience, and it's not just a race. It's not just a running race. It's about people coming to Vermont and spending time and money, you know, that we appreciate them coming, and we want to make sure it's a great experience. And if they're willing to spend their money here, we better make sure that it's a good experience and it's a good value. So, you know, that really is, that says it all. And so everything we do, we're in it for the quality, which is why we limited it to the marathon itself to 8,000 runners, because we want to keep the quality. And then the kids' race. We have a kids' event on that Saturday, which, you know, if you've got a child that's either four to 13, I mean, it's just a blast. And they actually run it in Waterfront Park, and they go through the finish line of the marathon. They get an actual marathon medal, you know, a T-shirt. I mean, they're treated like true heroes when they participate. So
if you want to come up with the family with the support crew, there's something for everybody to do, right?
There is, yeah. Between that, the kids event, the full marathon and relay, and then also the 2-day sports and fitness expo, all of those things on top of what's already going on in Vermont, in Burlington, Vermont, on that particular weekend. I mean, there's no shortage of things to do and participate in that don't necessarily even cost money. You know, it's just taking in the Vermont culture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some great bike riding routes and boating and all that stuff. It's an awesome place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really
nice.
It's a pretty little city.
Exactly.
Pretty little
city. And I'm not from here, so I really have an appreciation for this place after being here since 1992. Or no, actually, 91.
Okay, well, we're out of time. I got to let you go. See, that was easy.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, some of my buddies are going up there to run. It was good talking to you. Thanks for your time. Glad we could finally catch up.
Yeah,
and
thank you,
best of luck with the event. Let me know how it goes.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep, bye-bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
And I will keep this quick because we're out of time almost anyhow. Anyhow, today I was up in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and I stopped in at the New Balance Factory Outlet store at their headquarters, and I got some great deals. I got a pair of awesome trail shoes for like $30. Everything was like on sale. Good stuff, too. So, hey, I recommend Factory Outlets, especially that one. Good one. Got some great stuff. So, keep it real.
Saved message.
Hey there, Chris. It's Andrea Cicino. I'm a loser. That's it. I am a loser. So put that in your interview. I am so sorry. I had your name. I actually had a C on my hand to remind me to call. So I was away from my desk most of yesterday. So yesterday I'm doing some stuff, and I look at my hand, there's a C, and I'm like, God, what was that for? Who knows? I don't know what that was for. And when I saw your email, I'm like, I am a loser. I'm a loser. I'm a loser. I'm sorry. Bye.
Hi, it's me. Yeah, we're down the Boy Scout Bridge, me and Buddy. Squeezing in a quick run. We're stealing a run, as I say. I'm not going to do the whole 10K. I'll go do like 4 or 4.5, letting Buddy get a swim. Because it is hot, man. It's like 80 degrees. I know some of you were saying that's not hot, but it's hot up here for us. So, you know, first hot day, bugs are out now. This dog doesn't like the heat. He's not built for it. So I like to stop and let him swim, get a drink, do what he has to do. But I got to get back because it's grunting road race all the time. Now, yesterday I went and picked up the clock, and there's some wind. It feels good. And today we went out and we got all the cones and some of the coolers and the scaffolding and the bags for bag stuffing and miscellaneous other stuff. It's all basically just shuttle runs. Got to go up and get the yogurt today. Went over and got the grape juice. We got the Sunny Delight. We got all this stuff. And we got to move it to a central place. We got to refrigerate some of it. We got to move stuff around, stack it up. And this afternoon we'll set up the gym for the registration and do our prelim stuff there. And tomorrow morning we'll get up to crack of dawn and we will stuff bags. And then we'll start registration and do registration tomorrow, set up the fields, get the porta potties, the t-shirts tonight, and mark off the fields, set the courses. It's going to be hot, going to be in the 80s, high 80s on Sunday. So in New England, you get the extremes. You get the, every once in a while you get the 89 degree hot day. Then you'll get the 30 degree cold rainy day. But typically it's right in the middle somewhere. This year we're getting the 89 degree hot day, it looks like. So we're scrambling around to make sure we get enough water and sort of misting stations and that sort of thing on the course. But I mean, it's a 10K. Most people don't show up to run a 10K and not know these things. But, you know, we got to do what we can to make it a pleasant experience for people. 5K tends to have the walkers in it, you know. So, you know, we just got to make sure we don't run out of water for those folks. And everybody gets taken care of. So that's what I'm doing, man. I got to go because they expect me over there in 53 minutes. All right. Bye.
Okay, folks, that's it. Episode 67 in the can. My friends, thank you, my friends, for listening. And, hey, I know I had some people wanting to know about how the Groton Road Race ended up. It ended up great. We had great numbers. Pretty good day. Very hot day. You know, the whole week for me was running and picking up clocks and cones and helping people and delivering stuff and yogurt and food and drinks and scrambling around to get more water and putting stuff out in the course. And even tomorrow, it's a week later, and I'll be bringing some cones back to somebody. So a lot of time, but definitely very satisfying. I'm really proud of the folks that I worked with, because really I didn't do much. I just I was just there as the sort of the nexus for the whole thing, and helping people do what they do best. So great people, great event, and hope to see all you guys next year. Saw Eva, who's known as Vitamin Eva. She showed up, gave her a big sweaty hug. And what else happened? Oh, so congratulations to my buddy Miguel, who just did the Tour de Cure for diabetes. So I supported him in that. And he also just ran a 10K down in Veracruz, Mexico in 48-47, which is pretty good. Pretty hot down there in Veracruz. And also a couple of new podcasts, Women Podcasters. What is the world coming to? When I was a boy, we didn't have women podcasters. All we had was rocks. But anyhow, Erin, the triathlete Iron Woman, and her new podcast, first episode is Tri Capital N Reality, I believe. And Libby, our friend, our Twitter friend Libby, very prolific Twitteree, is also got one out there. Just search for Libby with a Y. Another great show. She's trying to lose 50 pounds, I guess. I listened to it today. I am going to... Libby hooked me up with Peter Sagal from Wait, Don't Tell Me. As you know, he writes for Runner's World, and he's also the NPR guy. So that'll be cool. I also got Bingham still online, and I got... somebody asked me to find out about jogging bras, so I am in touch with the jogging bra company. And that should be a hoot. That should get me out of my comfort zone, huh? And also John Ellis and his Point 2 program. I promise to get them on too. Make sure you sign up for the Worldwide Festival of Races. I'm trying to post more. I'm going to put a running race report for Boston up tonight, and I'll hope to get that out in Cool Running as well. And coming up, I got some great tunes for you since we're on the Vermont thing. I got a little folk music for you. It's by a gentleman called Eric Strom, and it's called Day 26, Talkin' Vermont Fuzz. And I hope you enjoy it. Something, and now for something completely different. All right, guys. Hey, and also, you need to support me. You can read the intro and promote your cause. You're collecting money for something. You get a blog you want to promote. Read the intro. You go to the front page of my website, runrunlive.com. Go down to the lower right-hand corner. There's a script there. Just read it out, man. And I got some more stuff that I'm going to be auditioning actors for as well. I got some more scripts. So thanks for listening. And we will see you where? Out there.
On occasion, a musician drops the ball and writes a song with no notes at all. No, it's not experimental. It's just accidental, and I'm sorry. Well, one day, me and my best friend discover that we gotta drive from one side of Vermont to the other, and without thinking much, we get along. Windows down, singing songs in a car. Well, within a few miles, we got pulled over. Copper gave us the once-over, and he said, "Listen here, thugs, give me your papers, and where's your drugs?" Well, I say, "Sir, there's nothing I did. You pulled over a proper kid. I've got proper papers, and he's a proper friend, with me all the way to the end." Then I said, "Officer, you're an inspiration. Got your picture on my shelf. I'm thinking of wearing the blue myself. Don't ask why and don't ask how. Go get the papers, I'll sign them now." He didn't offer. He wasn't having a word of it. He figured I was full of lies. So he takes me in the cruiser and looks me in the eyes and says, "I know for sure that you're on drugs." "Officer, I swear I'm not. That's my endorsement." But that's when he calls for reinforcement. But it wasn't me, it was my traveling buddy. He was wearing a leather jacket and a hoodie. My friend, he was working in a lab to pay the dues, and he is a magician too. And for those reasons, and no debate, he had a vial of powder used to detonate. Well, the cop, he said, "Never bring on the road something that you think could explode." They didn't believe my friend's explanation. They said they needed my cooperation. 'Cause they couldn't search my car unless I prove with my voice. So I said, "I feel like I don't have a choice. But go on, you'll see that I don't got drugs. While you're in there, beat out the rugs. Thank you." Well, they finished the car and patting him down, and they said, "Come on, you two are going downtown. Okay, the car's clean, but these kids are slime. They got this powder and they're gonna do the time." Well, they run the test in a single stroke. Just what I thought, positive for drugs. And we say, wait a minute, come on, man, we swear it ain't drugs, please run it again. Well, of course we were right, cause we knew what it was. But leave it to the Vermont fuzz to steal half my day when I'm in my prime. Had to write this song to make it worth my time.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.
Ah!